ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Okay, it's time to put my annual leave request in. I better check my leave balance first. What? I only have 2 weeks up my sleeve, but I really need a break. Hello, I'm Lisa Leong, and you're listening to This Working Life on ABC Radio National, helping to make your work life better. A proposal from the Australian Council of Trade Unions to add a week of leave to worker entitlements is on the table. 5 weeks annual leave. So let's explore what effect that might have on worker well-being and output in a time where productivity is a hot topic. First, let's hear how this extra week of leave works in practice. Greg Day is the co-worker experience manager at IKEA. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Lisa.
So IKEA has offered 5 weeks of leave to its workers for a couple of years now.
What
do you see as being the benefits for staff of having extra leave?
I think it's for us, it's as simple as providing something that is beneficial for all of our staff, and we call our staff co-workers at IKEA, so I'll probably use that term. All co-workers at IKEA have the chance to have 5 weeks of leave per year. All of our co-workers are employed as either full-time or part-time, so we don't have any casuals. So it enables us to say that everybody who works at IKEA in Australia has access to 5 weeks of leave per year. And that feels really good because we try to do things that are for the many people. And that makes sense for us to be able to say that it's something available for everyone. So I guess why we've done it is to be able to provide all of our co-workers the opportunity to be able to step away from work, have more time to balance work and home life, take extra time to do whatever it is that they want to do with that extra week of leave. We think it's beneficial for productivity as well, because when our co-workers are more rested, have time to step away from work, they're going to be more productive when they're in the workplace rather than just working and not taking leave.
Greg, you know, why wasn't 4 weeks enough?
I think 5 weeks just gives that extra week to be able to use as co-workers wish to use it. And it doesn't mean that all of our team need to take it in one block, and certainly they don't. It means that there's extra days available for those things that come up. I mean, we have our workforce is very broad as far as age and different life cycles go. So, you know, we have parents who can access just taking extra days of leave to do things with their kids that they want to do, you know, extra time to spend with friends, family. We have people who compete in sporting events, all different sorts of things. So it's just having those extra, the extra week per year on top of being able to have a holiday. It just makes sense for us.
And you said that you have seen that productivity hasn't decreased. So can you go deeper on that for us?
It is a hard one to measure, like in specific stats, but it means for us, as I said, that if we're more rested, if we're able to take more time away from work, then we're going to be more productive when we're at work. And so that's really what underpins that for us. You know, it's also something that it's a meaningful benefit. It's something that everybody has. It is a competitive advantage for us currently because, you know, not that many places offer it, and something that we're really proud to have as part of our overall employment offer for all of our co-workers.
Oh, so people say, oh, I'm actually attracted to work here because of that extra 1 week leave?
Yeah, it's certainly something we do talk about in recruitment. So, you know, we talk a lot about reasons to join and reasons to stay. And I suppose that's the same for every business. You know, you look for things that will make you an attractive employer. And this is something that, you know, we were really proud to roll out a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's something that, you know, we're certainly standing behind for our business.
Now, Greg, do people actually take the leave?
We've seen some good movement in annual leave, actually. I think, you know, like for all of us, we all approach annual leave differently. There's some people who will use every day of it as soon as they can. There'll be others who will want to keep some up their sleeve for a rainy day. And, you know, there's all different types of approaches. In rolling out the 5 weeks of annual leave, you know, we had to work harder on holiday planning. And we see that as being a key for making this successful for the business. And that means that prior to the start of each of our business years, so we start a business year in September. So, you know, in over the next couple of months, we'll start talking about holidays for the next business year, and each team will get together and have a look at times that work for them for everyone to access their annual leave over the upcoming year and to book some of that leave in. Not every day of that needs to be booked in, and certainly there's flexibility around changing that leave once it's been approved and locked in so that you can be flexible when life things happen. But we do need to work hard to promote the planning side of it so that it works. So different teams across different parts of our business can take leave in different times of the year, and it makes sense for some people to be off in a certain month and others not to be off in that month. So, yeah, planning is key.
So what would you say to other employers thinking of offering this?
I can certainly say it works well for us, and it's something we're really proud of. I think that it's something, you know, we wouldn't advise other people as to whether it's good or not for them, but I would say have a look at it. Have a look at weighing it up as to whether it's something that would be beneficial for your workers, how you would work with it operationally. For us, it works, but it's certainly worth exploring, yeah.
Thanks so much, Greg.
Thank you.
Greg Day is the co-worker experience manager at IKEA. So let's bring in the experts now. We've got Shay McChrystal, who's a professor of labour law at the University of Sydney Law School. She's going to tell us about the landscape of annual leave. Hello, Shay.
Hello, Lisa.
Carol Kulick is the Bradley Distinguished Professor at the Centre for Workplace Excellence at Adelaide University and is the author of Human Resources for the Non-HR Manager. She'll talk about the possible effect on organisations. Hello, Carol.
Hello, Lisa.
Okay, Shay, can you take us through the origins of this proposal by the ACTU? Like, why now?
The ACTU is proposing this now because they've been given the opportunity to make a submission to a Senate inquiry into our national employment standards. So the 4 weeks of annual leave or 20 days of annual leave that's standard for full-time workers is contained within the Fair Work Act in the national employment standards. So the ACTU has made this submission to the Senate, and the basis of their argument is that essentially workers in Australia do a lot of unpaid overtime. And one way of recognising that unpaid overtime that they do is to provide them with an additional week of leave.
Now, Carol Kulick, what would an extra week of leave mean for a modern day worker?
Well, I think what's really important for the modern day worker is that we often have very little control over our job demands. And I think this is particularly true in retail. You can't control when that flow of customers is going to come in. But what you can control is how you recover from those job demands. And we know that giving employees more control, more autonomy, is probably the single biggest predictor of both physical health and psychological well-being. So that extra week gives you that sense of, yeah, I got this. I have some control. I have some autonomy over my life.
And, you know, as I said to Greg, why is 5 weeks such a big difference from 4 weeks?
We know that the less annual leave employees have, the more they hold on to it. Greg made the comment that employees are saving it for a rainy day. Now, that's really risky, both for employee and employer. If you're afraid to use your annual leave, that means you keep working even when you're tired. You keep working to the point of burnout. You keep working to the point where you're ready to quit.
Carol, you did mention that, especially in retail, when it comes to autonomy, you'd have less autonomy. So this is trying to extend it to more workers. So is this appropriate? Why extend it?
I think it's appropriate across all sectors for different reasons. Shay, just a minute ago, was talking about how the modern-day employee is working more hours, more intensification. The thing that I would layer onto that is, in today's workplace, we do less physical work and more cognitive work. And, you know, we can think anywhere, anytime. So we get up in the morning, we're having our coffee, we're already thinking about the workday. At the end of the workday, when we're going to bed at night, we're reviewing our workday. And in general, those are good things, right? The more involved and engaged we are in our work, that's stimulating, that's positive, but it's also harder to switch off.
We hear a lot of talk about the four-day work week. Why don't we just go to that instead and then we won't need such long holidays?
I often say that four-day work weeks or the nine-day fortnight are the least flexible kinds of flexibility that an employer can offer. The problem with those kinds of structures is the employer is still making the decisions about when the employee takes the time off. You're not giving employee that sense of autonomy to judge when they need some self-care, when they need a break. And so I think you get much more value by putting that in the hands of the employee.
Shay, where do you sit on whether or not the extra week of annual leave is a good thing for Australian workers?
I think it's a great thing for Australian workers if we're able to have that minimum standard changed. And I really agree with Carol's point about the degree to which this gives employees control over when they utilise this time in a way that best suits them. When we're regulating work, we are actually regulating family. We're regulating the degree to which workers can have meaningful family interactions outside of a working environment. And so, again, if you just think about a parent couple with children in school, those children will have 12 weeks of school holidays a year. The annual leave that we have now would only for that couple cover 8 of those weeks, and that's only if they don't take that leave days together.
Now, on LinkedIn, I asked you how you might utilise 5 weeks of annual leave, and Renata writes, "I believe the optimal way to use the 5 weeks would be to take 3 weeks in one go, because we really need a longer holiday to reset our brains from the stresses of work and life, then spread the 2 weeks into 3 smaller breaks. This way, you have a break every quarter. I also recommend booking the breaks at the beginning of the year so you make sure that you do take them. Otherwise, you get stuck in the business as usual mentality and your brain starts playing tricks on you and you start thinking you can't take a break. That is not true." Carol, any thoughts on what Renata just shared just then?
Oh, I have such a big smile on my face. I love this idea of having to take 3 weeks in one go to fully disengage. Again, it completely aligns with some of the research that has been done on people's experience over holidays. Researchers have tracked workers' well-being over the course of their holiday. And what they find is that workers get to peak relaxation, peak well-being, round about day 8. Now, we can quibble whether it's day 8 or day 10 or whether you're counting travel days or not counting travel days. But the big takeaway for me is that it takes longer than one work week. You know, we're always on at work. And as I said, you can think everywhere. So we have to recognize that it's going to take a longer period of time for people to fully disengage from that kind of work environment.
Okay, that's scary. I don't think I've actually taken a break then since about 1999. Oh, well. You're listening to ABC Radio National's This Working Life. I'm Lisa Leong, and we're talking about extra leave entitlements for Australian workers with Carol Kulick from Adelaide University's Centre for Workplace Excellence and Shay McChrystal from the University of Sydney Law School. Coming up, we've got a great idea on how we can redesign leave entitlements all together. So, Shay, in a statement from the Business Council of Australia, Chief Executive Brand Black says, "A one-size-fits-all approach to annual leave is the wrong approach," and adds that with weak productivity growth, rising inflation and living standards under pressure, this proposal does nothing to address these real challenges. Shay, what's your response to that?
Research suggests that it has very little negative impact on productivity. And in fact, you know, if you come and listen to what Greg has told us, a better rested workforce and a workforce that feels like it has more control over its timing and when it's deploying its leave is a workforce that's likely to be happier, more engaged and more productive at work. So this notion of a one-size-fits-all model Well, we already have 4 weeks of annual leave as a minimum standard in the National Employment Standards. The proposal is modest to extend that to 5 weeks. And there's nothing, as I said, that stops businesses from negotiating around how that is deployed within the context of enterprise agreement making. So we have mechanisms within our labour law systems to allow for local customisation and variation. So I think I reject the notion that this is a one-size-fits-all. This is about making sure that we have a modern standard of a workplace entitlement that fits the modern environment and the changes that have happened to our work environment since we landed on that standard in around, as I said, the 1970s.
Carol, can we turn our minds to the perspective of a small business owner operator? They're under a lot of pressure, costs are rising, and in this context, even thinking about implementing an extra week of leave feels very stressful indeed. So what would you say to that?
I would say two things. Number one, I would encourage that small business owner to look very carefully at their absentee and leave records over the last couple of years, because you may already be seeing some patterns that are really important that help you to predict when the highest demands are and where you can make changes in your workflow or adjust the rostering to accommodate that. The second thing I would really recommend is take the long view. When we talk about adding another week of annual leave, all we can see are the dollar signs attached to the cost. But what's really going to matter to that small business owner is that if employees are able to engage in self-care more frequently, they may, over the long run, be sick less frequently. They may be more motivated and proactive and productive at work. And I think the most important thing is they're more likely to stay with you. A little bit more time of annual leave may be one of the key factors in making sure that people can handle job demands over a longer period of time with less negative consequences for them. And that's definitely a win for the employer.
Shay, according to a Roy Morgan poll from 2025, most full-time workers have an average of 2 weeks annual leave owing. So is the real problem a lack of leave or a lack of ability to take it?
I do think that some of our job structures and our workload structures can make it very difficult for workers to find the time to take leave. And I think that if what you experience in the lead up to a leave period is a work intensification process, it's like I have to get so much done because this work's not going to get done while I'm away. And then when you get back, you experience a work intensification process. This becomes more difficult. And the other part of it is leadership culture and how leaders model approaches to leave within workplaces. We know that if you're in a workplace and your leaders are messaging to you that you should be taking your leave, but they're not taking their leave. They're messaging to you that you should be switching off outside of hours, but they're not switching off over out of hours. There can often be a disjunct between business messaging and business behaviour. And we have to be careful about the cultures we create. If we've got a culture where the work is not being adjusted to enable people to take leave and feel rested, and we've got a culture where business leaders are not modelling good behaviour, then I think that can make it difficult for people to think it's okay for them to take their leave.
Carol, there are so many specific kinds of leave now. It can be kind of hard to keep track of everything. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's really interesting, isn't it? We're seeing some specialized personal leave like grandparents' leave, so you can take time off to spend with your grandchildren. We're seeing some employers offer additional cultural or religious leave. And I'm really of two minds on it. On the one hand, I love the fact that our employers are sensitive to the fact that employees have diverse needs and they're trying to respond to that. On the other hand, I always feel like these very specialized leaves, again, keeps the control and autonomy in the hands of the employer. It's the employer who says, oh, a grandparent relationship is more important than this cousin relationship or a sister relationship. And I think it's just a lot easier to administer and probably gives employees a lot more autonomy if you replaced some of those specialized leaves with just more options within your annual leave policy.
And Shay, in an effort to be more inclusive, as we've been hearing about personal leave, do we actually risk sort of cutting some people out, like people who don't have children, for instance?
I'm not sure that we risk cutting those people out. I mean, what we're recognising through personal leave are particular circumstances that will require additional flexibility. And personal leave is not just available to people who have children. You know, carer's leave does extend beyond those, you know, that direct child relationship. But there is something in what Carol says about the idea of giving control back to employees. And if you have a longer period of annual leave, because you don't have to justify the reason that you're taking annual leave. Annual leave is one of those types of leave where what you do with your annual leave is entirely up to you, right? How you spend that time is not within the employer's control if you're using that particular entitlement. So I think Carol's point there is very powerful, that where we want to give employees that sense of flexibility and control, giving them more annual leave rather than continuing to expand the categories of personal leave is both administratively more efficient and arguably really does allow employees that sense of control. So I'm very taken by Carol's point on that one.
Shay, and even if this proposal from the ACTU for 5 weeks of leave doesn't go through now, do you think that we'll see this extra week of leave become reality at some point?
I do. I think what we often do see in the industrial space is we see progress happening at enterprise level. So we've talked about the IKEA experiment, and we know that other businesses, as Carol, you know, has also pointed out, are offering different types of leave, and other businesses are offering annual leave. And what we see is that the benefits of these extended leave entitlements become clear, and then we get a kind of groundswell shift to rethink our minimum standards within that context. And the Australian industrial relations system has always worked like that. The old award system worked like that. We try things out in awards and we gradually extend them. So I do think that even if this particular push doesn't get up, we will start to see a change. And I think it is important, because I do think that work and our work lives and our work-life balances are substantially different to how they were when this current standard was first enacted.
And Carol, do you see an annual leave increase like this actually happening, and what might that do for work-life balance?
I'd really love to see employers get ahead of the curve, to start offering it in the absence of being required or mandated to do it. I thought it was really important in the IKEA example that they started this process 2 years ago, and now they're getting the benefits. So, of course, there's going to be a learning curve, right? You have to sort of figure out how to do the rostering around this. So the sooner you get started, the better. The other thing that's really important is we know that employees give their employer more credit, and the public gives employers more credit when they take action because they choose to, rather than because they have to. So I think a smart employer would recognize that there's this appetite for more annual leave and try and get ahead of it.
Thank you so much, Shay, and thank you, Carol.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Carol Kulik is the Bradley Distinguished Professor at the Centre for Workplace Excellence at Adelaide University. And Shay McChrystal is a Professor of Labour Law at the University of Sydney Law School. Thanks for listening to This Working Life. It was produced by Michelle Weeks and engineered by Tim James on the lands of the Wurundjeri people in Naarm, Melbourne. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can like or subscribe to our show on ABC Listen or anywhere you get your podcasts. And you can share the love as well. Send it to a friend or a work colleague you think would enjoy this working life as much as you. I'm Lisa Leong. Until next time, love your work.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.